Today's scripture reading is Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 16 to chapter 9, verse 3. I tried to understand all that happens on earth. I saw how busy people are, working day and night, and hardly ever sleeping. I also saw all that God has done. Nobody can understand what God does here on earth. No matter how hard people try to understand it, they cannot. Even if wise people say they understand, they cannot. No one really can understand it. I thought about all this and tried to understand it. I saw that God controls good people and wise people and what they do, but no one knows if they experience love or hate. Good and bad people end up the same, those who are right and those who are wrong, those who are good and those who are evil, those who are clean and those who are unclean, those who sacrifice and those who do not. The same things happen to a good person as happen to a sinner, to a person who makes promises to God and to one who does not. This is something wrong that happens here on earth. What happens to one happens to all.
I meant to tell you, I added that extra verse in a common love. So, sorry, I meant to tell you that. If we were to go around the room this morning and ask everyone the question, what do you most enjoy in life? You probably wouldn't have as many different answers as there are people in the room. You know, someone might say, you know, being with my significant other. That's what I'd say, honey. Someone else might say traveling to other parts of the country or other parts of the world. We have some people who travel a lot in here. Yvonne Thornton likes to travel. Judy Erics, I think, is traveling right now. We have a lot of people who just love to travel. For others, it might be just, you know, sitting on a beach and watching a beautiful sunset. Or hiking in the mountains. I have a friend who's one of the elders in Lancaster, and every year he goes hiking with friends up in the mountains. He loves to do that. Or maybe it's just watching a good movie. Or watching the Buckeyes win a national championship. But if you just take a moment to think about it, there really is a lot to enjoy in this life. The author of Ecclesiastes, who is thought to be Solomon, was a man who wanted to find out, you know, what would bring him enjoyment in life, to see what was good for people to do the few days of their life on earth. And so he denied himself nothing and explored everything life had to offer at that time. And of course, if you have any knowledge of Solomon at all, you know he was one of, if not the wisest person that ever lived, excluding our Lord, of course. And he explored what would bring pleasure. He wrote in chapter 2, verse 10, that he didn't overlook any pleasure he desired in his quest. And as a result, Solomon came to a rather countercultural conclusion about what is good for you to do on the earth for the few days that you're here. If you ask most people what they generally desire in life more than anything else, the common answer is, you know, I just want to be happy. You know, and who doesn't want to be happy in this life? We all do, but the more perplexing question is, what does it take to make you happy? You know, what brings the greatest amount of joy to you in this life? And the writer of Ecclesiastes, he found the answer to that question, and it may surprise you. In chapter 2 and verse 4 and the verses following, Solomon intentionally engaged in a litany of activities to find out what was good or what would bring enjoyment in life. And in verse 4, it says he engaged in building houses, he planted vineyards, he created gardens and pools, he bought slaves, he acquired large herds and flocks, he acquired silver and gold, he had male and female singers to entertain him. And that was before, of course, the internet. In verse 9, he wrote, I became very famous, even greater than anyone who had lived in Jerusalem before me. So he acquired fame and fortune, which so many people think, I mean, that would be the end all to be all. He was able to acquire anything his heart desired. He denied himself no pleasure, according to verse 10. He concluded in verse 10 that he was pleased with everything that he had done. But in verse 11, he described it as kind of like chasing the wind. In other words, having the ability and the resources to obtain, create, or simply possess whatever he desired, to achieve fame and fortune, didn't satisfy or give him the pleasure he thought it would. In other words, there was kind of still something missing. So he decided that maybe wisdom is the answer to finding joy or what is good for man to do. And as I mentioned week before last, you know, he considered wisdom and foolishness beginning in chapter 2, verse 12. And he concluded that of the two, you know, wisdom was better. But his problem was that the end was really no different, whether you were wise or foolish. You know, so he didn't see the value of gaining lots of wisdom. To him, it was also like chasing the wind. I sacrificed a lot of time, money, and sleep to obtain a doctoral degree. And there were a few times when I felt like it was chasing the wind. But, you know, I had a lot of help. And with all of that help, I was able to succeed. Now, did that translate into a better life? Well, I mean, not really. I mean, I got a little bit of personal satisfaction out of it. Will it mean a more pleasurable life than someone without a college degree? Not really. So Solomon here, he's kind of, I can relate, he's kind of 0 for 4 in seeking pleasure. He created material things, he tried that, he tried entertainment, he tried fame and fortune, he tried wisdom. And so his batting average here isn't very good at finding what is good and meaningful for man to do in life. In fact, he said in chapter 2, verse 17, that he hated life because it was like chasing the wind. In chapter 3, Solomon rhetorically asked, you know, do people really gain anything from their work? He acknowledged, pointed out that God was in control. He expressed in verse 14, he said, I know that everything God does will continue forever. People can't add anything to what God does, can't take away anything from it. And God does it this way for a certain reason, so that people will respect him, so that people will revere him. It's as if he's saying, you know, if God's in control and whatever he does can't be changed, and there's really nothing new in the world, which he said earlier, he said in chapter 3, what contribution can I really make? You know, why should I try and change anything? You know, why should I work up a sweat if God is controlling the outcome? If he can't change anything that God does? Can you really make a difference in the world through the work that you do? That was Solomon's issue. And the answer to that, of course, is yes. Yes, you can make a difference. I mean, God has called us out of the world to make a difference in the world. When, however, God decides to do something, and Solomon acknowledges that we never really know what he's doing. But when he does do something, man is not going to change it. You know, in other words, God's purposes will always prevail. And unfortunately, we can't always know what his purposes are in any given situation. Proverbs 19:21 mentions that many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. There are a lot of structures and systems in our world that are beyond our control. You know, we couldn't stop 4 to 6 inches of snow from falling a week or so ago. Now, I know there are some people think we are affecting the weather, and maybe we are. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. But this is the way God has ordered life. And one of the reasons he created life that way was, as we mentioned, was so that you would acknowledge him, so that you would respect him, so that you would humble yourself before him. Just because life is set up that way, though, it shouldn't discourage us from making our plans. You know, but it should help us to organize our priorities properly. You know, to some people, career is everything. You know, it's the highest priority in their lives. I mean, they work long hours, and their goal is to reach the top of their profession. Ta-da! Okay, are you happy now? We've read that most of the people that make it to the top aren't really all that happy. And I think Solomon might be saying here, you know, you might want to rethink that. Does your career really mean that much to you? Is it worth sacrificing time with your family? And denying yourself some of life's pleasures by putting all those hours into something that just so you can say, look what I did. In chapter 4, verse 3, Solomon concludes that one of the reasons people work really hard to succeed is because they're jealous of others and what they have and do, others that have more. He saw others, according to verse 8, who worked really hard but were never satisfied with what they had. No matter how many times you hear that, and we hear that often, and no matter what the Bible reveals about money and life, many still believe that your neighbor who has more leads a more pleasurable life than you do. And that isn't necessarily true. In fact, it rarely is true. In chapter 5, he wrote, whoever loves money will never have enough money. Whoever loves wealth will never be satisfied with it. He says, this is useless. It's like chasing wind. Another worldly problem that troubles Solomon in chapter 4, and I mentioned it briefly a couple of weeks ago, is that there isn't a logical connection between behavior and circumstances in life. And sometimes that's good. But when it's bad, it can be really bad. As we witnessed a week ago in the death of these two officers who were just trying to go help somebody. Charlie Weisenborn worked for Wheeling-Pittsburgh Steel for 24 years, 11 months, and 3 weeks. And he was in his last week. In this last week, he would complete, once the week was completed, he would complete 25 years of service to Wheeling-Pittsburgh Steel, and he would qualify for his pension. And they terminated him before the week was over. He served that company for 25 years, essentially, and that's the thanks he got. Our circumstances are not always due to our choices and actions. And the greatest example of that, of course, is Jesus. You know, Jesus, he did everything right. He came for the right reasons. It grieved him that the Jewish leaders wouldn't believe in him, wouldn't accept him for who he was. And his desire right at the end, of course, was not to have to drink that cup of suffering that had been handed to him by God. But God's plan prevailed. And I'm so glad it did. Solomon expected that he would have a lot more control over his life because of all his wealth and all his authority. And he came to understand that he didn't have more control, which to him was like chasing the wind. So now that Solomon's got you totally discouraged, let's look at what he concluded about what is good for man to do and how he can find enjoyment in life. And he repeats this assertion numerous times throughout the book, so you can't really miss it. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24, the best that people can do is to eat and drink and enjoy their work. And I saw that even this comes from God because no one can eat or enjoy life without Him. I encourage you to spend a few times meditating on that verse. Ecclesiastes 3, 12, and 13. So I realize that the best thing for them is to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. God wants all people to eat and drink and be happy in their work, which are gifts from God. Chapter 5, verse 18. I have seen what is best for people here on earth. They should eat and drink and enjoy their work because the life God has given them on earth is short. Chapter 8, verse 15. So I decided it was more important to enjoy life. The best that people can do here on earth is to eat, drink, and enjoy life because these joys will help them do the hard work God gives them here on earth. chapter 9, verse 7. So go eat your food and enjoy it. Drink your wine and be happy, because that is what God wants you to do. Chapter 11, verse 8. People ought to enjoy every day of their lives, no matter how long they live. So there's that common theme in Solomon's words what can bring happiness and where the joys of life really are. You know, regardless of what your situation in life is and what you're going through, enjoy the God-given gift of life's simple pleasures. You know, we've all experienced how quickly time passes. And I tell you, it goes quicker the older you get, right? And I don't know if that's because we get busier or because we just can't remember, you know, what we did previously. One of the problems I've noticed in my life is that it always seems like I can't wait till I get to this next point. You know, I can't wait till I'm at this point. I can't wait till I'm at this point. I can't wait till I'm at this point. It's like I'm not enjoying today. It's like I'm not enjoying where I am now. I don't know if you do that or not. I've got a little video that I'm hopeful that is going to play for you that kind of sums up what Solomon might be trying to tell us. Let's listen.
I read a study yesterday. It said that last year, more than half of us actually chose not to take our full vacations from our jobs. Question. Don't you think it's crazy that so many of us go into work even when we don't need to be there? Times we could be on the beach buried in sand or traveling the earth. We spend it in the office, traveling from desk to desk, buried in paperwork. See, in this chaotic world, everything goes so fast. We're so busy, seems like everyone's middle name is multitask. But now before you go and act all holier than thou, how many extra tabs do you have open on your computer right now? See, we all need time to get away from the race for our family, friends, for the sake of our mental state. Time to rewind, recharge, and reconnect. Not reporting to the office on emails that should be on redirect. Because life, ladies and gentlemen, is all about moments. No one in history has ever been able to hold on to one. Not a single soul. And you never get them back. See? There one goes. No do-over, no rewind, no DVD root menu to skip to a previous scene. Ask yourself, how many trips did you almost take? How many sights have you almost seen? How many moments have you lost thinking about the next one? Thinking that once you get this or get there, maybe that will be the best one. Life has taught me that all we will ever have is now. But let me be perfectly clear. I'm not saying to quit your job, even though I know you deserve a 6-month vacation twice a year. But how about small steps, short trips with long dances, no distractions, to spend time with family instead of coworkers, meditation instead of aggravation, replace our screensavers with sunrises, palm pilots with palm trees, jam copy machines with... Man, I really hate jam copy machines. The most precious thing we have in life are moments. Let's make the most of them before they disappear. Let's see the world while we still can and cherish those while they're still here. Because when our lives are almost over, it won't matter how much money we made or hours we worked or times we got employee of the month. What we will look back on are the memories we made, the hours we spent with those we loved, and were we father of the month, mother of the year, friend of a lifetime. Holidays should be a time where we go away and come together. From now on, let's take our whole vacation and be fully present, creating memories that will last forever.
So, enjoy sitting down and eating a meal. Some of you will do in a little bit. Enjoy it. Enjoy the time with your family. Enjoy the time with your wife or husband. Enjoy your work. Be thankful that you have something to do. A lot of people get bored and lonely when they don't have something to occupy their time. If you've ever visited somebody in a nursing home, like Vivian or Esther or Bonnie, Ronnie, they just sit there passing the time away. Be thankful you have someone to love and someone loves you. Take a vacation. I know what my wife's thinking right now. Are you listening to what you're saying, Todd? The writer of Ecclesiastes sought to find out what life was all about. And he went the gamut. Pleasure, entertainment, wisdom, fame, and fortune. And he came to the conclusion that real happiness is found in being content and enjoying the simple pleasures of life, enjoying what you do and who you do it with. That's very countercultural in our world today. God gave you the gift of life, but you only get it once. You only get one life. There are some religions that believe that you get a lot of lives over and over and over again, but we follow God's word, which teaches you just get one. Solomon says, enjoy the portion God has given you. Enjoy each day of your life. On your communication card, whether it be blue or white this morning, are the three next steps. Memorize Ecclesiastes 9:7. Read Ecclesiastes 5:10-17, and accept the contentment challenge, or call it the simple pleasure challenge. Be content and enjoy, notice the simple pleasures of life. The greatest gift God gave you besides your life was His Son, the life of His Son. And He gave you His Son so that the other gift that He gave you could be eternal, the gift of your life. If you want eternal life, then you have to submit to Him, repent of your sin. You've got to believe in Him and die to yourself and clothe yourself with Christ in baptism so that He can forgive you and give you that inheritance that you will have someday. So, this morning as David leads us in this song, it's an opportunity to take the life that you're living now and have the promise of extending it forever. And Jesus offers that to you right now. Let us know if you want to do that. If you haven't done that yet, we're here to help you do that. So let us know as we stand and as we sing. David?
The skies above you.